I'm going to start quickly in John chapter 3, where we looked at last Sunday. I'm just again reading from verse 13. Well, let me go first to verse 10, just to give the context again. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. He was speaking about being born by the Spirit. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. Then how will you ever believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of God. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the light comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Powerful scriptures these, and one of the things that takes place, we hear these words so often that we don't really get to a deeper understanding of what Jesus is saying over here and what John is busy writing. And so what we're wanting to do, God willing, is to understand this scripture. We need to look at, over the next few weeks, what atonement really means. We hear the word atonement, but there's no simple definition that speaks, well, this is what atonement, because atonement covers so much. And the previous Sundays we've been looking at, the only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. And all the other rituals and all the other stuff is not relevant. You want something that really matters, that's got eternal value, that will last for all eternity. And the only thing that counts is the faith, first of all, the faith that we have received from God and our faith in Him. And also now, whatever we remember what we looked at last Sunday, faith is knowing what is unseen and being confident of that which is unseen. And here we see this incredible power of the cross and the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. It's unseen for earthly people. You know, as Jesus is saying, I speak to you natural things and that you don't understand, but I'm speaking to you because I know what's happening, you know, Jesus saying, because I've been with the Father and I come from the Father. And so when we share the gospel, when we pray for people, when we are busy involved in spiritual truth, which is unseen, that's the faith realm. And faith brings it into the earthly manifestation. And it's with a heart full of love that that really becomes demonstrated. And so, in everything that we are busy doing now, God is teaching us, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in His name. Whatever we ask in His name, the Father will do it, so that the Father is glorified. So, these are the promises that we've been looking at over the past couple of months now, and learning what it is to pray in the name of Jesus, what it is to live in the name of Jesus, what it is to be in union, in Jesus, and to partake in His divine nature. And so now, as we are in this time where God is opening this up, because He's wanting us to really be involved in reaching the lost. is like there's a love being stirred up within us over there. There's a fire of God that's been coming alive within the body of Christ. And like Polani, Christine from America was here just sharing something on Friday evening. And for her as well, for what's happening, wherever she's going, it's exactly the same journey where God is helping her to come free of religion and to step into what it is to be a real child of God, loved by the Father, living loved by the Father. And the more the Holy Spirit reveals to us the reality of God the Father, the more Jesus, all the time he came to reveal the Father, the more we find, the more we know the reality of the Father's love, the more we find the freedom from religion, and what it is to be a child of God and to live in that freedom of being a child of God. And all of us are going through that process of coming out of religion, because that's our roots, our foundation is in a religious system. And the Holy Spirit is helping us. So now with the love in our hearts and a simple, pure faith in that Christ is Christ, he's done it all. And how to be rooted and established in him, because in him is the fullness of grace and truth, and how to live in that grace of God, how to live in that truth that is in Christ Jesus. With that being established within our hearts, the Holy Spirit is showing, reach the lost, because you're not going to bring them into a religious system. You're going to now, because you yourself, we know now the reality of that freedom of really just being loved by God. We can now evangelize, we can share and help them also now, not because they've got church history, they've got a religious system background, to help them to meet the real Jesus. You'll be amazed at the power of religion in our lives. We don't realize just how strong religion is, and we will do everything to bypass Jesus Christ, because that requires faith. And we will want to perform, we would want to do this in order to be accepted by God, we will want to do this in order to live more holy, we want to do this in order to please God. All the time we've got those, what I've got to do, and we don't yet understand what it is to live in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, so we stay in the realm of grace. So these are the things that God's been teaching all of us. And so when we're looking at this John 3:16, so it's not just a favorite and a common scripture, we will have faith. We will have a faith from God, because faith comes from hearing God. We will have a faith that God wants no one to be condemned. We will have a faith that God's answer for all mankind is Christ Jesus. The gospel is the power of God. We will believe that, despite what we say. I don't know if you saw lately how the guy that founded the Satanist Church in South Africa, he got born again about a month back, a month and a half back. I don't know if you've listened to his testimony. But he was the founder of the Satanic Church there, I think in Krugersdorp or something, but in South Africa. And he was speaking on Cape Talk. He had a slot over there too. But the organizer that organized the interview, and that she's a believer. And so when he was in the studio there and they're interviewing him, and he's really just slamming Jesus and Christianity, like, you know, he's the head of the Satanist Church in South Africa. and this woman comes and she just hugs him. And for the first time, he felt unconditional love for the first time. The only thing that counts is faith. That God so loved this man that he sent his son Jesus, that God does not want this man to perish but have eternal life. Faith. Now that faith, in that action expressed through love, and this Satanist experienced for the first time really unconditional love after he had spoken what he had spoken. He didn't know she was a Christian. And then when he got home, he looked in her profile, I don't know, it's Facebook, whatever, and saw that this is a believer. And so now what happening now, he said there were four Christians that no matter, they knew he was, he's in a gay relationship, you name it, but they kept on loving him unconditionally. And that kept on touching him now, sort of, he doesn't know this stuff. But anyway, now he's having a ritual, and in the ritual, he has to, in order to get more influence in the demonic realm, you've got to do these sacrifices and rituals, and now he's doing his ritual, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the spirit realm, because they're very open in the spirit realm, and he knew it was Jesus, because that same unconditional love that was in those believers, he was now experiencing it in Jesus. And that began his journey of knowing that this Jesus, and for the first time, he experienced something profound. And that was his turning point, and he gave his life to Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, and that's why this John is so powerful. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Remember the name of Jesus? The Lord saves. See, so Jesus, when you're praying in the name of Jesus, that is such a revelation that this is the Father's will to save people. So our praise is not about in the name of Jesus, bless me. Praise in the name of Jesus, Father, this is you to save people. See, it's a total different. Now there's a love in our hearts for people to be saved, knowing that if they reject this, there's the condemnation, there's the wrath of God that's upon their lives, there's the consequence of that. But love compels us. Love is the motivation for us to evangelize. Love is the motivation for us to share the gospel. Love is the motivation for us to pray for the lost and to pray for people. It's that love of Christ within us. It's in us because we have the Holy Spirit, and God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So those are the things. So when we look at, we're not going to do it today, we'll probably start next Sunday. When we're going to look at the atonement, there's certain things that we will look at. We will look at what atonement means. We'll also then look at the extent of atonement, because we're battling now. A lot of folk have the understanding of what they call limited atonement. It's only Christ only died for the elect and the predestined. And so that's still a mindset that prevents many people from evangelizing. It's very strong still in our community. And then there's the effects of the atonement. And just in the effects of the atonement, there's a whole lot over there that we will have a look at, and understanding what took place. And I believe the end result will be like in Revelations 5, where worthy are you, Son of God, you know, the Lamb that was slain, to receive honor and glory, because by your blood you've redeemed, you've purchased men and women from every tribe and nation to be a kingdom of priests. And at the end, it mustn't be an academic. It's for us to have faith in what the power of the cross of Jesus, the all-sufficiency of Christ's death and resurrection, and then, because our heart is full of his love, to be able to evangelize, to pray with faith in our hearts, believing God to do a mighty work. Busy with a sort of a family right now. It's like, worldly speaking, it's hopeless. There's no answer. You know, the dysfunctional reality of family life, and the pain, and the constant wanting to commit suicide. It's a constant thing that's taking place. But I have to have a faith that the power of God's love for this family is bigger and greater than their inner simple fallen nature, self-centered, was just part of the fall. And the love that I have for them, and the love that God has for them, to believe in the mighty work of the Holy Spirit in breaking through. You see, we've got to walk in faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And this is who we are now. So as believers, that's what we shared some time back. We are a kingdom of priests. It's so important to understand that we are here to reign. We are here to be able to know the heart of the Father, and by faith to be able to see it manifest, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are here. We have to be believers that walk in faith and love. Otherwise, we'll be just like the rest, moaning and groaning and just so full of unbelief. And that we cannot afford, because God loves the people of our communities too much, for us to afford the luxury of moaning and groaning and to live in unbelief. No, we can't do that. God loves the people too much, and He's placed, we are the gift of God in a community. We are a gift of God in this town, in the towns we stay in, because Christ is the gift. Christ is in us. We're His body. We are a gift to the workplace. We are a gift to the schools. We are a gift from God wherever we are. And it's for us to really be established in that more now as we go on. So we will look at that over the next couple of Sundays, so that faith is really being established, and His love is really so in us. So, but this morning I want to quickly go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Busy also in a group that we're busy with in the discipling. He's a young guy that he's got a lot of knowledge. Boy, he's got a lot of knowledge, but he does not experience the life of Christ. And so he's got the intellectual faith, but the real living faith is absent, and he's hungry for that. And so what I'm sharing here in 2 Peter, we can use this as a outline for disciple making disciples, not only for our own personal growth, but also as we disciple people that God has brought into our lives. So we're going to read from verse 1 onward. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. I'm not going into that, but if you go back, remember we looked at the gift of righteousness, and here you see in the gift of faith. Just in that verse there, verse 1, you can spend a lot of time in helping folk to be able to receive Christ, our righteous one, the righteousness from God by faith. Faith is a gift. And so you can use that as a starting point of how did you come to know Jesus? What happened? And you can see it's a wonderful platform to begin. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, more and more and more and more. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And this word knowledge over here, again, it's contact knowledge. It's first-hand experience. It's not intellectual knowledge. And that's why even with the atonement, it mustn't be intellectual knowledge. It must be contact, must know the reality of that truth. And so here we see that the more the Holy Spirit teaches us and reveals truth to us, the more we be able to appropriate the grace of God. We grow in the grace because we're now living in that truth. And wow, that truth is so bigger than ourselves. And so with every truth, it's just the grace is there to enter into that and for that truth to become alive and us to become one with that truth. And then he carries on in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Again, this is packed with so much, but not spending much time on this today. But here, just to again share His divine power, He's given us His Holy Spirit. So His Spirit within us, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. This is again that intimate knowledge with Jesus Christ, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. We have everything that we need. Do we believe that? You see, this is why this is so important. Do we believe that? When Peter is writing to believers that have got knowledge, but their life is not changing. So he's addressing that. And so they've got all the knowledge of Jesus and of Scripture and of the Old Testament and all that there, but there's no life changing within them. And so he's addressing that. And that's why he's using the word knowledge so often, because that was the language that they were using. The unsaved and the philosophies of that time was the knowledge reality, that knowledge is salvation, knowledge is the way to heaven, knowledge is the way to God, knowledge, it's all intellectual, philosophical kind of knowledge. And Peter speaking, no, this knowledge, he uses a different word, this knowledge is epi, it's another word, epinosis, it's not just normal knowledge, this is above normal knowledge, this is divine knowledge we're speaking about. And so Peter is speaking and he's saying, guys, over here, because of the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ and makes Christ known to you, and by the Spirit, Abba Father, so it's relational knowledge. Because of that, you have an incredible power within you to be able to live a life and be transformed and to be able to be set free from the power of sin because of what Christ has done. And for all of us, the more the Holy Spirit speaks to us and shares with us truth, that truth is full of incredible power of God to enable us to step into that and to be set free from whatever stuff that we've been battling with. That's why the truth sets free all the time. And so he's saying over there that we have divine power given to us for everything we need for life and godliness. I don't think I really believe that yet fully. I don't know about you. Do you worry about your tomorrow? Do you worry about stuff, about the future? Do you worry about things? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And again, just a revelation of the nature of our Heavenly Father. Now, through these, through the knowledge, but also particularly through His goodness and His glory, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. And this is what I think is so important for you and I right now. What's making us, we were chatting, we were laughing about salt the other day, but to be light and to be salt in a community, in a workplace, to be able to, like that Satanist said, he has this woman that comes and hugs him and he feels unconditional love for the first time. That's powerful. That's divine power operating within her. That's Christ in her that's loving this Satanist. She's died to the old. She's a new creation in Christ. And it's like you and I, wherever we are, we've died to the old. It's Christ in us, and we can love. And so we have this divine power. But this power, remember the law in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, enables us to be set free from the law of death, sets us free from the power of sin, that we don't have to indulge in that sinful nature anymore. That power is broken, so we can choose, or we can rather be servants and slaves to righteousness. This is what this power is all about. And so we escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now in verse 5, and this is going to be our journey for a while. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Okay, this faith, remember, God has given. We saw there in verse 2 that this faith God has given to us, it's not the doctrine of faith. It is the faith that we receive to believe when we heard the gospel. This is the faith we're talking about there. Now make every effort to add to your growth. So this is now the discipling process. This is now you and I, our responsibility as children of God, got the divine power of God within us that's enabling us to be able to live a godly life. Okay? And so Peter writes over there, now add to your life, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Okay, that's moral goodness. That's appropriating the truth so that the nature of Christ, the goodness of God is established within us. And he carries on, and to goodness, knowledge. Once again, the same knowledge is being used, this contact, this first-hand experience knowledge. It's an intimate knowledge. It's real. We're speaking about there. You know what it's like. You can learn how to fix a car in the books, but to actually fix a car, to get that first-hand experience, is totally different. And so we can read scripture, God so loved the world, but we want to be one with that God so loved the world. So the only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. So that what we do, it's full of love. My prayer has been, Holy Spirit, I need now for you to, I want to become one with the revelation of atonement. So whatever I do, whatever I say, the impact of atonement, of Christ's sacrifice, becomes a reality wherever I go. I want to be one with that. So I'm in this journey of being established in more understanding of what atonement is. And you will see it's pretty awesome as I share more of that in the future. And we carry on, and he says over there, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. This godliness is holiness. Goodness is moral goodness. Godliness, yeah, is the holiness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's human love for one another. And to brotherly kindness, love. And that's the God love. And so all of us understand a lot about human love. That's the natural reality. But this love is the God love. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he shares over here, very profound, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, this is the growth. That's why you can use this in your own personal, you know, journey, and you can also use it in discipling folk. There's so much that you can use. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your first-hand experience knowing the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do, these things you will never fail. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in John 15, when Jesus is speaking about the vine, and he says something profound, and this 2 Peter chapter 1, it's the same as what Jesus teaches us over here in John chapter 15. He goes on, you are already clean because of the word. Okay? These guys are clean. They have received the word of God. They believe who Christ is, and he carries on, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away, and with it such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so Peter actually is saying exactly the same thing as what Jesus taught about his word. See, what we read there about adding on, all of that, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit of God, it's the same thing. This is not our goodness. It is not, this is walking in the Spirit. This is life in the Spirit. Goodness, we're adding on because we're walking in step with the Spirit. We're living in the Spirit. The law of the Spirit is operating within us. The same with godliness, the perseverance, the self-control. All of that there is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is here. And so when Peter's writing this and Jesus is saying, if my word remains in you and I remain in you, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. It's exactly the same thing that Peter is saying over here. He's just opening it up a bit more. And that, I believe, is really much what's happening. If we go back and we look over the past, what the Holy Spirit has been teaching, and if we just go back for a while and we say, okay, let's just take one area. Let's take the truth that Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6, 7 and 8 that we spend some time on. Let's just take in Romans chapter 5, for instance, there that in Adam, that truth, that all of us were born with the sinful nature, and as a result, death came to all man. Okay? And then Paul writes and he says, but let's look at the contrast. Now in Christ Jesus, the second Adam, you see, what's the consequence? The consequences of us being from the Adam line is the fallen nature, is the power of sin, is death, the separation from God. John 3, 16 and 17 over there. We remain under the wrath of God. We are condemned. Okay? But then he goes and he says, yes, Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, he is the righteous one, and the consequences of believing in him is his life. And if we have faith in Christ Jesus, we now participate in what Christ has done. We know we've been taken out of Adam, and we are now placed into Christ. So no longer are we that old Adam person. Not at all. Now we are in Christ and we receive the power of his righteousness and his life operating within us. And then we went to Romans chapter 6. That in Christ Jesus we died to the old Adam. In Christ Jesus we've been raised into the new man, the new creation in Christ Jesus, so that we can serve. So now, no longer now is that power of sin operating. Now we just take that truth and we believe, and that word has become one with us. We become one with that word. That word abides in us. We're remaining in Christ Jesus and his word. We've taken that word and it's abiding. That word, remember Hebrews 4? The word of God is alive. It is active. So this truth is alive and active. It's operating within us. It's not intellectual understanding. No. It's alive. The fact of Christ's resurrection, the fact of Christ's death, the fact that I've died to that old man is alive within us. It's powerful. It's working something profound. I'm experiencing the victory over the old nature. I'm experiencing the victory over the power of sin. I'm experiencing the victory of having my desires after the desires of God. It's alive. It's not just words, it's living. That's what we're talking about. So now, because it's alive, what's happening? We become more fruitful. You see, we become more productive. No longer are we serving the fallen nature. No longer are we gratifying those things anymore. Now we are free of that. Now we are now able to serve God in many, many other areas of life now. We're becoming more fruitful, more productive. So the more revelation, the more knowledge, the more the Holy Spirit reveals truth, taking from Jesus who is full of truth, make it known to us, the more you and I take it in and allow that word and to remain in us, the more fruitful we become. And this is to my Father's glory that you and I bear much fruit. God loves us so much, and He loves the people of our town. He loves the unsaved in our workplaces, in our homes, in our family line, in the schools, wherever we may be. And so He's showing us, guys, you are the gift. We are the gift. Let my word remain in you so that it's alive within you. You know the firsthand experience, the contact truth of this incredible word. You will become more fruitful. So we can go on and we can take what the Holy Spirit has been teaching us when we pray in the name of Jesus, John 14, and we've been looking there at verse 13 and 14, that whatever we ask our Father in the name of Jesus, Jesus says, I myself will do it so that my Father will be glorified in my name. Profound promise of Jesus to the believers. His word is a lie. It's an active word within us. So when you and I remain and let that word become one with us now we can know when we come in the name of Jesus, and we've looked at what He shared over there. Now when we come in the name of Jesus, knowing what it means to pray in His name, knowing what it means to be one with the desires of the Father, knowing that, now we've got that faith and we can now pray, and our prayers become more effective. Because now we're praying from truth, from the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and we're experiencing how that word is alive and active. That's the breakthroughs. That takes Christianity out of knowledge into experience, into the reality of the life in Christ Jesus. That takes Christianity out of just the stuff and into the reality of what it is to be raised with Christ to serve our living God as a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's totally different. That's what brings Christianity alive, active, exciting, fruitful, and not just a sort of an intellectual exercise. What a privilege that you and I have. And God is raising the standard in a sense, sharing with us there because of the times we're in, and it's, people need to be saved. You're the light in the town. We're the light in the town. Wherever we are, now we believe. And so we're becoming, and we can go through many, many, you can just look in your, if you journal, you just look at your, what God has spoken to you over the past few days or weeks, or this morning, whatever it may be. And don't just rush off now. Let that word remain. Let it be established. Experience the living word. Experience the life of that truth. Experience the energy of that truth. Experience the source of that truth inspiring you. Experience the faith that comes from that truth. Experience the grace of that truth becoming real, and the freedom and what's taking place, and the answers of that truth. Live in that there, and then you will find now that when you pray or when you witness or whatever you do, you will start to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You'll start to see how productive we become. We need to become pretty fruitful. And Jesus says the key of fruitfulness is abiding in Him and His word abiding in us. This is to my Father's glory. And that's why the 2 Peter chapter 1, all of that there is all about life in the Spirit and taking in, adding to your faith. You see, that's why that word add is so important, because that add is my will. I'm going to let that word become real in me by the Holy Spirit. I am not ignoring that word. I've taken a decision to press in. The same with atonement. Take the decision. God, I'm going to add whatever you're going to share me. I want to add it. I want to take it in. I want to let that become one. I'm going to spend the time for it to be established within me. I'm going to practice. I'm going to use faith. When I look at the situation and I say it's hopeless, I'm not going to say it's hopeless anymore. I want to say, Jesus, thank you. The power of the atonement, the power of the Holy Spirit to work there. I'm going to add to my faith the knowledge that God is sharing. Okay, and that's how we grow in faith. That's how we grow in love, as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Keeping in step, He gives the truth, we step, we let that truth become real, we share, we step, we step, we walk with the Spirit like that. And that's what he's doing. So, let the Word be alive and active in our lives. Experience the joy of the living truth. I think it was Yvonne that was sharing on, someone was just sharing the other day of just what God was speaking about. The only thing that counts is love being expressed through love, our faith being expressed through love. And they were just in a difficult situation last week in one morning, and the Holy Spirit just reminded her of that truth. And all she did was say, "Thank you. The only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love." And almost instantly, just the grace of God just settled into that place. And there came the peace, there came the solutions. Only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. Simply believe. Amen. As we have communion this morning, that's what we do. We simply believe in the power of atonement. Does anybody know what atonement means? The sacrifice of Christ, the atoning sacrifice of the blood of Christ. To explain atonement and to get revelation and to go deeper in atonement, it'll probably take us maybe 2 months. It's so deep, it's so beautiful, it's so incredible. The power of the blood of Christ. That's why when I know for me, when God said to me, the answer for our nation is the centrality of the cross of Jesus, it's taken a long time, because it's step by step to get unlearned stuff and to learn what the Holy Spirit is teaching about the power of the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. And atonement is a big deal that we need to learn. And that's going to be so what we will share, we will send to Estelle, so she can understand what took place, the power of the blood and how to start to live in the power of the victory of Christ, death and resurrection, what atonement is all about. Yeah, it will be good for her. She'll believe for her husband's salvation as well. Good. Father, thank you as we again celebrate your son Jesus. Just as a starting point to know, you so loved the world that you gave as a gift to humanity. But when we look at atonement, we will see it's also for the whole of creation. You've given your son Jesus. What a joy to know that it's not your will for anybody to be condemned, but to be saved. And Lord, as we today celebrate what you have done, not just for ourselves, but today we celebrate that this is for mankind, your death. Father, that in your son Jesus, you are not counting the sin of the world against them. They need to know and to receive what you have done in your son and through your son Jesus. So today, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can just celebrate your life, celebrate your love. Father, we could celebrate your gift of your son to humanity. We want to celebrate the ministry of your Holy Spirit in drawing people to your son, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for this, for your glory and honor. Work in us, enable us to experience the living word within us. We desire to be far more fruitful, and we say yes. We hear you, and we just say yes, we will follow you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us, and enable us to be established and to become so fruitful so that our Father is glorified. His name is made holy and glorified through our lives. And this we want to praise you for the privilege and the honor of making you known to the communities we stay in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah.